This morning's public reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. I'm going to be reading verses 1 to 18. Luke, chapter 22, verses 1 to 18. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. So notice, Luke is writing primarily to a Gentile audience who may not be totally familiar with the religious life, the feast days of Israel, their covenantal relationship with their God, the tabernacle system, and then now the second temple is standing. And so he goes out of his way to define his terms. So when it says the feast of unleavened bread and the word Passover mentioned, okay, they are so closely now attached by this time in Israel's history that they're basically one and the same. They are so interwoven. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. So notice, they feared Jesus' popularity. Then entered Satan, get this, then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad, yeah, okay, and covenant to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. So notice, they were going to do this when no one was going to be around, probably at night, which they did. This way, everybody's home, everybody's under the covers. So without, they didn't arrest him in broad daylight in the temple complex with hundreds of people standing around. There would have been a riot. A riot would have definitely broke out. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber? Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, now in John's Gospel you find the expression, his hour was not yet come. But here, when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. So Judas is there. And he said unto them, what desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not eat any more thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. So we're going to entitle this, Jesus Prepares His Last Passover. Jesus prepares his last Passover. We do know that when Jesus did ascend back to the Father, in all likelihood, this was probably in the month of May. Okay? The crucifixion, the burial, the passion, the resurrection occurred in the month of April. And then he was on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights thereafter. So sometime in the month of May, Jesus would have gone back to the Father. So this is going to be the last Passover meal that Jesus is going to partake on earth with the original 12. That much we can say. All right? So here we're told the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew nigh. Now that term, drawing nigh, or the term at hand. There have been some people, unfortunately, who have played with the English language as well as with the Greek to make words mean what they don't actually mean. When we are told that the Passover was at hand, beloved, it was so close, so much around the corner that it would have bit you if you bumped into it. When we use the expression, like here, drawing nigh, or something is soon to occur, or something like the kingdom of God is at hand, we're not implying thousands and thousands of years for it to be fulfilled. And that's where our premillennial dispensational brothers and sisters go wrong. Especially when you read the opening chapters to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. We are told quite plainly by Jesus to John that the events that John is going to write about, the events that he sees from one vision to another vision, are events that were going to take place in John's lifetime very soon. That's how close they were. And again, that lends itself, at least one internal evidence or argument, that the book of Revelation was written before 70 AD. The fact that the events that John is going to write about and the visions he sees and the characters that he describes are pointing to people and events within his own lifetime, when Jerusalem was eventually destroyed by the Romans and the temple was eventually destroyed and razed to the ground in fulfillment to the Olivet Discourse. So let's be careful on how we touch and approach God's Word. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew nigh. It was so close, they had to make preparation lickety-split. And notice how Jesus kind of facilitates that in verses 10. He said unto them, behold, when ye are entered into the city, when you go back to Jerusalem, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. How did Jesus know that? Jesus gives them a way to identify the man who's going to help them in the preparation for the Lord's Supper. This shows the omnipresence and the omniscience of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's God in the flesh. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee. So this guy must have been a believer who owns this house where the preparation is going to be made, because he addresses the man as your master, okay, your master. He calls him the good man of the house. The master saith unto thee. So this is a command, and you and beloved, obedience is but the fruit of conversion. Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? Now, we are going to upset everybody's post-Christmas fanfare. I believe in the Gospels, it says that there was no room in the inn for Mary and Joseph. We get this picture of Mary and Joseph going to every hotel and every B&B there in Jerusalem that night, knocking on the door, and being callously rejected because there's no room in the inn. And so the story goes that either Mary and Joseph find this compassionate owner of an inn or a B&B, and all that he has to offer is either a cave or a stable outside. I'm here to bust your bubble. You know where it says there was no room for them in the inn? That same Greek word is the word guest chamber in verse 11. We're not talking about a cave. We're not talking about a stable. Matter of fact, this same room, the guest chamber, was the largest room of a person's home at that time. That room was reserved for visiting relatives and friends. versus them putting you up at a hotel or the local B&B. This room was reserved for family members. We are told that during this taxation, people were flooding into Jerusalem, or flooding into Bethlehem, or flooding wherever where they were born to be registered and to be taxed, right? Well, apparently, since Joseph was a descendant of David, and he's gone back to the place of his birth, where do you think Joseph ended up going to? Did he go to a hotel or a B&B? No, he probably knocked on the door of one of his family relatives to see whether or not a guest chamber was available. And apparently, it was not. It was full. Somebody beat Joseph to the punch. Bear in mind, Joseph did walk some 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem for this taxation and for this registration. And when it says that he was laid in a manger, the manger was a feeding trough. And so versus Mary and Joseph getting the best room available, this upper chamber, this guest chamber, they were probably at the ground level in a house, not in a cave, not in a stable. Okay, they were in a house, but they were able to bed down in a part of that home where they could share the accommodations with the animals who were brought in during the winter time to keep them out of the cold and to keep people warm. So Mary and Joseph were not stuck in a cave, or they were not stuck out there in the boonies, out there in some stable behind the chariot garage, if you will. The word inn is the same word translated here, guest chamber. And it was the largest room that would make accommodations for visitors or people passing by as a place to give hospitality. All right? Wanted to clear that up quick. Verse 3. So prior to the dinner, the Passover dinner, being furnished and being actually used, apparently earlier that day, Satan enters into the heart of Judas, and he makes the arrangements with the high priest to betray Jesus. So that was done prior to them gathering that evening for that meal. All right? And again, they were glad. Hey, we found somebody on the inside that's willing to be the traitor, to commit treason. That's what Judas commits. He was a traitor, and he committed treason against his king. All right? So in verses 10 and 11, it would also seem, based on verses 10 and 11, that Jesus somehow had made prior arrangements with the good man of the house. Notice Jesus just didn't barge in and say, oh, by the way, since I'm the master, I'm going to take over your upper chamber tonight. No, Jesus apparently made prior arrangement, prior accommodation. Verse 13, they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready to Passover. So the 12 apostles, okay, get the room furnished, the food, the drink, all the accommodations for that evening meal. And when the hour was come, they sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. So notice in verse 1, this feast is drawing nigh, and by the time you hit verse 13, everybody's front and center in the upper room, prepared to partake of the Passover meal. So when you hear terms like drawing nigh, soon, or at hand, we're not talking about gazillion and gazillion years. You're talking a relatively short period of time when whatever is going to be fulfilled. Just want to share that with you. Verse 15, and he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So that would be referring to the bread, because in verse 17, we have the cup. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it amongst yourself. So there was a single cup that was passed. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God come. And I imagine there's all kind of interpretations. What is Jesus implying? Well, I'll leave you for that for study. So there we have Jesus and the apostles prepare for the Passover meal. Well, may the Lord bless his word. Amen.